So I hope everybody had a phenomenal day. The Mishnah says that anybody is acceptable to read the Megillah. Hakol Ksher and Likros says a Megillah, Chutz Mecheresh Shote Vekatan, with the exception of somebody who is not able to hear or articulate properly, somebody who is not lucid, and a minor. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Vekatan, but Rabbi Yehuda accepts the reading of a child. More on that in just a minute. The Mishnah says, In Korinas HaMegillah Velo Malin, when it comes to reading the Megillah in the daytime, or Bris Mila, where the Torah says, by Yom Hashmini, on the eighth day, Velo Tovlin, going to the mikvah, following a period of Tumah, Velo Mazin, Hazah, a person comes into contact with a dead body, they need to be purified by being sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma on day 3 and day 7, V'chein Shomeras Yom Keneged Yom, somebody who saw a woman who saw a Re'iyas Zava flow from her body, so the next day she goes to the mikvah, Velo titbo ad shetenei tzachama, v'chulan sha'asu mishala amura shachar kasher. So you have to go during the daytime, you have to read the Megillah during the daytime, but if you would do it at not at sunrise, you would do it at alos ha'shachar, so b'di'evet, after the fact, it would be acceptable. And we always say, shas ha'tchak b'di'evet dami. So this always comes up this time of year, because who's rushing off to work this time of year, more so than any other profession? Married into it, the accountants, very good. So they have accountants minyanim when they do read the Megillah before Netzach Hama. It's supposed to be a big secret, but the Mishnah already says that it's acceptable, even though we're supposed to read by daytime, because as Rashi explains, and this is the position of many, if not most Rishonim, that day really begins at Alos, which is dawn, not at sunrise, and they're separated, depending on the time of year, about 90 minutes, a little bit less. So it really does make quite a bit of difference. This is a very, very important point. And again, practical point already for a couple of weeks from now when people are going to be rushing off to work, especially people are trying to beat the traffic, right? Beating the traffic is not an easy thing. So if you could read the Megillah, you don't have to wait till Nate. So you read the Megillah even if you're at a fast reading, 30 minutes or so, whatever it is. There are some faster readings even than that. But you could read the Megillah at Alos. So we mentioned before there's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Can a child read the Megillah? So what's that machlokas all about? I mean, what, Rabbi Yehuda didn't realize you need somebody who's bar mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda knew how to learn. So what was going on here? So we know that Megillah basically is a rabbinic obligation. Well, we can say that it is related to a broader Torah level obligation to remember Amalek, so there's definitely that in the background, but let's assume for now that Megillah is pretty straightforward as a rabbinic obligation. So we know when it comes to rabbinic obligations in general, we can differentiate between two different kinds of rabbinic obligations. You could talk about a Torah-level institution that somebody is obligated in on a rabbinic level. Let's say a child and the mitzvah of matzah and Pesach. The Torah says you have to eat matzah, but the child is only obligated rabbinically once the child is educable. Okay, a katan shegiya lechinach. So there you have a mitzvah de oraisa, but a gavra, an individual who can only be rabbinically obligated. But you could also talk about the opposite case, like Megillah. Here you have a person, Siggy Laster, who's bar mitzvah. If you didn't realize, Siggy's been bar mitzvah. So Siggy is obligated in mitzvahs on a Torah level, but he's only obligated in a mitzvah such as Megillah rabbinically, because Megillah didn't come from the Torah. So it is possible for a person to suggest, look, you can't really mix and match. Siggy is somebody who's really obligated by the Torah and mitzvos, so he can't possibly fulfill his obligation if you have somebody who's not obligated by the Torah and mitzvos read for him, even if it happens to be a rabbinic obligation. We just don't look at it that way. That would be one way of explaining the position of the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda would say, well, look, in the end of the day, if Siggy's only obligated to hear the Megillah on a rabbinic level, and this child happens to be obligated on a rabbinic level as well, because he's educable, so Rabbi Yehuda would say it's okay. Now, you might retort to that and say, well, the child sort of is what we call a double derabbanan. There's two aspects of rabbinic. First of all, he's not somebody who could be obligated in Torah law entirely, because he's not bar mitzvah, and it happens to be a mitzvah derabanan. So maybe his two derabanans, this is far like this in Tosfos, maybe his two derabanans is one derabanan too many for Siggy. But I'd like to actually explain the machlokas in a different way, I think in a much more elegant way. I once heard this presentation, not necessarily related to this particular machlokas, but I once heard this presentation from Chaim Ilson, who is one of the very close students of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he made the following observation, which has really, really impacted the way that I think about this topic and all topics related to Katan. So
when we deal with a child who's educable, and we think about this child being obligated in mitzvos on a rabbinic level, we can conceptualize this in one of two very different ways. Okay, so we could say that really what's going on here is the Torah didn't obligate this child, and the rabbis didn't obligate this child. What the rabbi said is, once this child is old enough, his father has a responsibility to teach him how to do X, Y, or Z. For example, the Gemara says, if a child is old enough to care for his tefillin, his father should purchase him tefillin. It sounds like it's really the father more than the child, right? Another way of formulating the idea might be to say, no, the Torah did not oblige him, but the rabbis came along and said, even though the Torah says you're only obligated from 13, if you know what the mitzvah is, right, so then you should start doing it now. So the rabbis obligated him. So if that's true, you could look at it one of two ways, that could very well be the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. See, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda all agree that an educable minor is going to be rabbinically obligated to hear the Megillah. But maybe they had a dispute about what the nature of that obligation is. So maybe what the Chachamim were saying, and it sure sounds this way from the Rambam, I have to tell you, is that the child really isn't obligated. It's an obligation on the parent to teach the child. For example, the Rambam says, "Umechanchem esaktanim lekrosa," that we train the children to be capable of reading the Megillah. But it sounds like fundamentally the obligation is actually directed towards the older generation. You might be able to debate that point in the exact language, but that's the way it sounds to me. So if that's true, that the child really has no fundamental obligation, so it can't be that somebody with no fundamental obligation could discharge the rest of us who do have an obligation. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's point? No. The obligation does not inhere, it is not intrinsic to the father. The obligation is actually intrinsic to the child. So just like the rabbi said, Dan Rappaport's got to read the Megillah, Meir Rosen's got to read the Megillah, Steve Myers has to read the Megillah, the rabbi said, this child has to read the Megillah. And there's really no difference. They have the same fundamental rabbinic obligation. So it really depends how you conceptualize what the geder, what the definition of chinuch is with respect to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Is the definition of chinuch that the father has an obligation to bring a child to shul to hear the Megillah, which is shomea ka'on, it's kind of like reading the Megillah in halachic terminology, or is the obligation not in here in the father, but in the child himself? If that's the machlokas, then we can well understand. Rabbi Yehuda knew very well how to learn. But what Rabbi Yehuda was saying is that I believe that the rabbi said the obligation doesn't inhere in the parent, it actually inheres in the child. In which case, there's very little difference between the rabbi saying Siggy Laster has to read the Megillah and child X has to read the Megillah, in which case the child could read on behalf of Siggy Laster. They have the same fundamental obligation. And that would be, I think, the best possible solution in terms of how to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So, since we're still waiting for the minyan, it's a good chance to go further. I wasn't even planning on getting to this today. So we're about to see a Mishnah which lays out a vital halachic principle. It literally, you could say it comes up on every page of the Talmud. Okay, so there are certain mitzvos that you have to do at night, for example, like reading the Megillah at night, and there are certain mitzvos that you have to do during the day, like reading the Megillah during the day. We just talked about Bris Milah has to be done during the day. Sfiras HaOmer, right? That's a mitzvah that, in principle, that we really do at night. Or Kitziras HaOmer, that takes place at night. So there is a basic principle that we're about to see in the Mishnah, that any mitzvah which is a daytime mitzvah, theoretically you could do all day long. And any mitzvah which is a nighttime mitzvah, you really can do all nighttime long, which means from Tzeis HaKochavim all the way until Alos HaShachar. Now, there are some exceptions to this. Can anybody think of a very prominent exception to this? A mitzvah that we do every single day, but you don't have the opportunity to do it all day? Kriyat Shema, right? Kriyat Shema of the daytime, very good. Right? The Pasuk says, Uv Kumecha, so we say you only have until, what's the last time that you could say Kriyat Shema? The last time you could say Kriyat Shema, Zman Kima, what's the last group of people to get up? We say the end of the third halachic hour. Uv Kumecha, B'sha Shebnei Melachim Kamim. Okay? But that's an exception. That's a special din in Kriyat Shema. That's a Gzeira Sakasav. Okay? The truth of the matter is that the nighttime Kriyat Shema you actually really do have all night, right? Because it says B'sha Shebnei Melachim Kamim. We say that you have all the way until Alos HaShachar. And the truth of the matter is
in a situation of anus, you have even beyond the losa shachar, you have until netzachama, which is kind of remarkable, but that's a gemara in brachos and daf tes. So the Mishnah says, kol ayom kasher lekriyasa megillah lekriyasa halot tzkiyah shofar linatilah sulav tfilasa musafin lemusafin levidoy haparim levidoy ma'isa levidoy yom kippurim lesmicha leshchita letnufa lehagasha lekmitza lehaktera lemelika lekabala azaya. These are all parts of the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Just mentioned that one. I'll just end off by giving you one more exception to this rule. A davar shemitzvaso balayla, the one halacha which is not kasher kol halayla, that mida oraisa, at least according to one view, you cannot do it past chatzos. What's that? The avikomen based on, the avikomen is just the rabbanon, but the avikomen based on korban pesach, according to Rav Lazar ben Azaria. So we say in every morning the korban, we say zel mikomen a pesach eno neachal ella ad chatzos, because the pasuk says v'avarti beretz mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh. Balayla hazel was, you know, was chatzos. V'achuas abasar balayla hazel. But we probably don't paskin like that. It's a machlokas rishonim who we paskin like in that machlokas. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria. Rabbi Akiva really says you have until alos hashachar when it comes to midoraisa, when it comes to the korban pesach. So be that as it may, there are exceptions by daytime mitzvos like kriyat shema. There are exceptions possibly by nighttime mitzvos, Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria, when it comes to the korban pesach. But otherwise, we say davar shemitzvaso bayom, a daytime mitzvah, kasher kol hayom. Davar shemitzvaso balayla, kasher kol halayla. We hope not to be here kol halayla waiting for Maariv, but since we're, again, just waiting for the people to come in, I'll make one little addendum to this. So there is such a thing as the mitzvah of davening, okay? And it's true that Maariv, you could really daven all night long. We recommend that people don't daven after chatzos is a general rule, and some Rishonim will say we're going to hold that line and we're not going to allow you to daven after chatzos. That's pretty much a minority view. Rabbi Yonah has a svara like that. He says it even for kriyat shema, which is pretty remarkable. But basically, you have nighttime mitzvaso balayla, mariv, just like the hekter chalav leveirar, will let you do it at night, all night. But what about davening during the day? So a question: davar shem mitzvaso bayom. It's a daytime mitzvah, kasher kol hayom. So what about davening? Right, we all know that the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Brachos tells us that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you can't daven shachros all day. Even the Chassidim, I think, agree on some level that you can't daven shachros all day. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda says you have until the fourth hour. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say you have until the sixth hour of the day. You have the midpoint of the day. So how exactly does that work? The truth of the matter is, it's not really an exception to this Mishnah. Because this Mishnah is true for Tzvila on a Daraisa level. The Rambam, who maintains that Tzvila is a mitzvah Daraisa, the Rambam says, Ein lo zman kavua min haTorah. The truth of the matter is, you could daven at any point that you would want during the entire day. It's only on the rabbinic level that the rabbis came and said, Tfilos keneged tmidim teknum. They set them up in accordance with the different karbanos. The Tamid Shal Shachar, you were only allowed to bring until the fourth hour of the day. Because the Pasuk says, in Keves Echad Taasev HaBoker, Boker means, but the last point is the fourth hour of the day. So that you could ask God. What about the Tamid Shal Bein Harbay, the Tamid Shal Shachar? That's a good question. But be that as it may, Tefillah would not really be outside, on the Daraisa level, the scope of this Mishnah. Okay.